Welcome to Book by Book, a podcast from independent children's publisher Sambasavan and Purik. I'm your host, Leanne, the publishing coordinator for SMP. On this podcast, we feature bite-sized interviews with people from the world of children's books. I'm so very excited that today we have two special guests on the show. We have Shravita Venkat, who published Dancing in Tata's Footsteps through Yali Books in 2021, and Priya Purik, who published Dancing Devi through Modern Marigold Books in 2022. Both of these books tell the story of a little kid learning and participating in one of the Indian classical dance forms, Bharatanatyam. So we brought them together to talk about their books, why they decided to feature Bharatanatyam, and what their future looks like. Unfortunately, during our interview, we lost a tiny bit of audio. It's just right at the beginning where Shravita and Priya introduce themselves. So I will go ahead and introduce them, and then we'll jump right into the interview. Shravita Venkat hopped, skipped, and jumped careers to find her most cherished one, writing for children. Having grown up in India and having lived across three countries, she loves stories that are unique yet universal. Her picture book, Dancing in Tata's Footsteps, won the 2022 South Asia Book Award. Her next picture book, Girls on Wheels, releases in August 2023. When not reading or writing, Shravita loves to listen to music, tinker with new recipes, and explore the world outside her window. Priya Purik is the debut picture book author of Dancing Devi from Modern Marigold Books. Growing up, Bharatanatyam played an important role in Priya's life. She believes that creative expression is vital in the building of an inclusive world, allowing us to appreciate diversity, learn from one another, and embrace our collective humanity. Priya lives in New Jersey. So the reason that we brought the two of you together for this episode and to talk to our readers was because both of you wrote picture books about Bharatanatyam. So I would love for you both to give sort of a quick synopsis of the book, of each of your books. So Priya, if you want to go ahead and introduce us to your book, please take the floor.
So Dancing Devi is about a little Indian girl who explores the world of Bharatanatyam. And she's one of the best Bharatanatyam dancers at her dance school. She actually participates in a dance competition only to find out that she loses. And so she goes on this huge emotional journey with the support of her mother and realizes that mistakes are part of life and failure is part of growing up, and embraces herself with some love and perseverance.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Shravita.
Dancing in Tata's Footsteps is about a little boy who is facing inner struggles about his desire to learn Bharatanatyam, the same Indian classical dance that's referred to in Priya's book. And he's told that dancing is not for boys. But lucky for him, his grandfather, his Tata, he extends his support and he encourages the boy to follow his heart.
Incredible. Both of these books are beautiful, and they're very, it's interesting because they're obviously they're both about Bharatanatyam, the dance, but they're also very different. With Priya, you're also a dancer. You are a Bharatanatyam dancer. So can you talk a little bit about what inspired you to write Dancing Devi?
Yeah, it's an own voice story, but part of it comes from the fact that I think I personally was trying to manage my own stress and anxiety in general about life. And so I started writing, and dance was the one thing that I was so passionate about. And so I started writing about dance. And I knew at that time too that there weren't a lot of stories or books about Bharatanatyam out there. And I thought that, you know, those who are younger would be able to get so much out of it. I remember when I was younger, I wanted books like this, and there were no books like this. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the reasons. But it's an own voice story because, along with the idea of wanting to be this perfectionist, that's still there today. I think it's also the fact that it's inspired by the story of a daughter with gaining so much support and love from her mother. And I know during many difficult times while growing up, when I'd be so frustrated with dance or in general in a life experience that I was going through, I had that parental support that would guide me through the process. And so that's basically what's happening with Devi in the story too. I just love that strong relationship that they have, and it's based off the one that I actually have with my mother.
in dancing in Tata's footsteps. Well, how did I come to write that? It started with my passion. Again, my story is quite similar to Priya's story, except that I wasn't a Bharatanatyam dancer, mm-hmm. but I tried to learn it as I was almost into my 20s by the time, and I my knees couldn't take it.
It's very brave of you.
that's because I loved Indian dances in general. So I learned a little bit of Kathak when I was younger. I was also learning and performing Indian folk dances on stage in school. So I was very much into dancing in general. I think when I started writing about 10 years ago, one of the things, like I said earlier, I'm very inspired by Indian culture. Mm-hmm. And I did see that gaping void. And like, why isn't there any book about dance? And that's how the journey of this book started.
And a major theme in both of your books then is the support from family. We have the mother in Dancing Devi and then the grandfather. A lot of times in children's, you know, whether it's books or TV, you see the children really like you find them fighting against their parents, or, you know, a lot of times the parents or the adults in the story are the villains. Was there a thought behind why it was important to show those relationships in your stories?
I've always had family support as far as the arts are concerned. So it never crossed my mind not to have that as a... Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I mean, that's great. Yeah. That's incredible. So, everyone has.
Yeah, and I'm aware that there are families where dance is carried on, like, for generation, you know, by generation after generation. Yeah. So when I was doing my research, I came across something similar. And so that's interesting. Yeah, what led me to it.
I was just going to say, I was going to echo Shrividya on that, but I can't imagine not having that parental support. And I think even if it wasn't my mom, for example, my family, so many different individuals know dance in my family, like my Masi, or in Gujarati, it's Masi, but aunt. So everyone, or my cousins, who's also so talented in Indian classical dance, I don't think family support would ever be out of the picture, you know?
That's amazing. Yeah.
I would, however, like to say that I can understand that there may be situations where people don't have that family support. Mm-hmm. And that's when things become difficult. And
right.
In that situation, it is indeed a big challenge for someone. If I'm want to be a dancer and if I don't have that kind of support from my family,
it would be tough.
Yeah, it would be really tough.
I guess that was kind of why I asked, because well, of course you want to see that support in books. But I think one thing that makes both of your books stand out is that there is such a beautiful portrait of family support in them. And because not everyone has that, particularly when you want to pursue the arts or dance, and in the case of the little boy, where he's kind of almost discouraged from, you know, the social kind of surroundings around dance and how he's a little boy, so he shouldn't dance. But then he gets that support from the family. I think that's, you know, very special.
Yes. And that's where I think I wanted this story to inspire not just young readers, but also other grownups.
Mm-hmm.
In real life, I understand there are boys who want to take it up as a dance up as a passion, mm-hmm. but because the forces around them are not totally encouraging, they do not go all the way in, you know.
Right.
So they have to deal with those, with the toxic masculinity issues. So they don't take the plunge. So I guess that's exactly why I want to show that it's important to recognize passion, to give support, especially if it's something that's a language of your heart, to encourage the person, in your life who's trying to aspire to get closer to their dream.
Wow. Yeah. And I think often the best media, whether, you know, the best media for children often helps the the adults watching understand something either about themselves or about the children in their lives as well. And this certainly, you know, shows kind of like a handbook for that. Mm-hmm. If you're struggling with this, you know, this is how it could be. And so, well, you've kind of touched on this a little bit, so we'll go ahead and go down this sort of path. But Srividya, a major theme in Tata's footsteps is the impact of toxic masculinity on a little boy. I looked on your website and I saw that you have an upcoming book called Girls on Wheels, which is inspired by the girls' skateboarding revolution going on in India. And skateboarding is usually coded, I'm using air quotes for the listeners around that, as a boyish or like a masculine activity, like we would typically probably think of when we think of skateboarding. We think of Tony Hawk and, you know, like boys at the skate park. We don't often think of little girls doing that. Can you talk a little bit about why you're drawn to these subjects?
Dancing in Tata's Footsteps is about a boy overcoming the toxic masculinity he's surrounded by and everyone telling him that boys don't dance. Girls on Wheels is about three friends who are supporting one another as they practice skateboarding. You know, they fall and, you know, they fail many times in the process. But at the same time, they are redefining the currently male-dominated skateboarding culture, just like you said. So I like to write about such gender issues because they exist around us.
Right.
You know, as a society, you know, we live by certain, you know, gender rules and norms, and we feel that pressure to conform. It starts right from birth when we, you know, we are, we get gender defined clothing and for our babies and, you know, we follow certain color code them. And then even as, you know, they grow up, you know, we continue to make choices in life, which are dictated by these gender codes. Now, many times, I think even though things are changing, it's not like that everywhere, but still many of, I find that we may unconsciously make certain decisions, which are influenced by these predefined rules and norms.
Yeah.
As an author writing picture books for children, I realized that these books could be among the few books a child gets to read or is read to. It is through these books that they are beginning to develop their perspectives of the world. So I feel these books, that the books that they read should be more like mirrors. They should be like mirrors or even like windows for these children, which enable them to think and ask questions. And they have conversations with their caregivers. And for maybe even for slightly older children, maybe hopefully these books also inspire hope and courage to pursue their dreams.
Oh, that's beautiful. This is why you write for children. Exactly that.
I would love for these picture books to be read by adults too and see that there is a message in these picture books for everyone, no matter what age. Mm-hmm. You know, to get a fresh perspective on these issues, you know, even on these, for example, these gender issues, and also to get a vision on the future, or where every individual can pursue their passion or dream without all these barriers, you know.
That's really beautiful. And it reminds me too, when you were describing, you know, how you came to write Devi's story, you had mentioned that, you know, it is an own voice story. It's inspired by your own story and how you had wished that you had books like that growing up. Is there anything, thinking about Dancing Devi, that made you choose Bharatanatyam?
Well, the reasons why I love Bharatanatyam particularly are that it connected me to so much of who I am, my cultural roots. Many of the Indian epics you can depict them through dance and music and footwork, and they come to life. I think the other reason is that there's a connection with something higher than yourself. It's something connecting to a spiritual source or force of energy that, you know, can be thought about every now and then, and that guides the decisions that you make.
Wow.
I think it was Bharatanatyam in general for me has been something that's been very special just because of the journey that I've taken. It's been more than 10 years of practicing.
Wow.
And I think from the starting to the end point, and there is no end point, right? You're continuously working on your practice and mm-hmm. working on your technique, that I've gained so much in terms of my values, not only my cultural identity, who I am, but dedication to a craft or an art, perseverance, mm-hmm. patience, listening, tuning in, being open to that mindset, or that time period and where all of this art has come from, wanting to learn and being curious. I think there's just so much that has come from it, and I'm so grateful to have been able to have received it and been open to receiving it.
Wow, that is powerful. And also a lot of dedication. I can't, I, like many American children, American little girls, did dance, and I quit the minute it got hard. I was like, no, thank you. I did not have the connection to it, obviously, that you do, to Bharatanatyam. So shifting gears just a little bit, one of my most favorite things about working with children's books is the illustrations. And I was wondering if either of you had a particular spread. Is there anything, is there a particular page you really want them to look out for or that you think about that's your favorite, if you can pick a favorite?
Sure. This is a very difficult question because Tejaswini did an amazing job and she's super talented. I can think of a few of them that I would highlight, but the one that really sticks out is the one that is where little Devi is snuggling up into her mother's light blue sari, and the whole spread of the book is just her mother's sari, kind of like flowing away, but like wrapping around the child. And I hope that anyone who picks up that book knows that they are loved.
That is one of my favorite spreads as well. It's really powerful.
So for me, again, just like Priya said, you know, there's a bunch of spreads that I love. You know, the very first spread it shows the setting of the Bharatanatyam dance school. You know, Kavita Ramachandran, who's the illustrator, she has shown so many wonderful details of this neighborhood. And I think it's inspired by a neighborhood in New York City where she lives. I love the smaller details she has. There's a churro stand. There's a truck which has Black Lives Matter written on it. There's a rainbow flag. And there's a whole bunch of shops, the neighborhood, like you can tell there's, it's a very diverse neighborhood.
Yeah, I know exactly what spread you're talking about. It's so textured and it's like, you know exactly what book you're walking into when you see that.
Yes, and there's so much detail in that. So that's one of my favorite spreads. And I do like a couple of pages later, there's a spread of a scene of the classroom scene in the dance school where Varun, the boy, is speaking inside. I also love that because again, we see diverse characters learning from the teacher. I think what I especially liked about this is that you see a number of children of all ages learning, they are all dancing, and you can see that they're not synchronized.
Yeah.
And that makes it so natural, you know, and that's so realistic. Yeah, I could go on and on.
Yeah, just describe the whole book to us. Well, okay, I don't want to put either of you on the spot, but before I wrap up, is there anything that you would like to ask each other? Is there a question that you wish I would have asked you or something that you would like to share with your readers?
Okay, I did have a question for Priya.
Great.
Sure.
I wonder what you're going to write about next. I mean, you've done Bharatanatyam, and I'm wondering, so what are the other things you like to write about?
What a good question.
Oh, man. Really good question. I am currently working on a story that has to do with Indian classical music.
Ah, lovely. All right. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
It's needed. I don't think there's one out there yet. So,
no, I don't think there is.
So keep at it. Looking forward to that book.
Priya, did you have any questions or something that you wish I would have asked or anything you want to share with your readers?
I think the only thing I would like to say when we talked about this in the beginning, like why I wrote this book, I think I would just tag on to whatever has been said before. But I really think one of the reasons I wrote this book also was to let a child know that you're loved, you are more than enough, you are good enough, and you are seen and heard. And so that's actually one of the reasons why I picked Bharatanatyam. It's not the go-to common dance form that people do here. But I wanted something that stood out and that was different. And that matters too. So, yeah.
Well, I think that definitely comes across in the book. So thank you for that. Okay. When I wrap up, I like to ask, what are you currently reading, listening to, watching, or playing right now? Because I know video games, a lot of authors are really into video games. or board games, you know. So what are you doing that you want to share?
As far as reading goes, yeah, I do read a lot of picture books. And I do also love to read middle grade in verse these days. Oh, wow. And a recent book that I read is A Time to Dance by Padma Venkatraman. So it is also about Bharatanatyam.
Oh, okay.
Coincidentally, and it is about a dancer who has an accident and she unfortunately loses a limb.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, you know, once she gains a hold over herself, she resolves to learn, to relearn the dance with a prosthetic, you know, so she, once she has a prosthetic foot, it takes some amount of getting used to, and then she relearns Bharatanatyam and discovers how much she loves it. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. It's a beautiful, beautiful book.
What was the title and author again?
A Time to Dance by Padma Venkatraman.
Thank you. Anything from you, Priya?
So I'm actually reading a non-Bharatanatyam book.
Oh, wow. What? You're not allowed.
I don't know if you guys have heard of it, but it's called Atomic Habits by James Clear. But it basically, he talks about how small, small good habits can build a way for you to reach your full potential, and how you build habits from making small changes in your daily routine. It's something simple, but the way he writes, it flows so well, and it makes you want to make tiny changes in your life so that you can achieve your goals.
Sounds really interesting. Okay, and what was the title and the author again?
Oh, Atomic Habits by James Clear.
Great. Well, thank you for sharing. Yeah. Well, and thank you both so much for joining me this evening and for sharing about your Bharatanatyam books. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you for having us.
Once again, that was Shravidya Venkat speaking about her book, Dancing in Tata's Footsteps from Yali Books, and Priya Purick talking about her book, Dancing Devi from Modern Marigold Books. And I'm your host, Leanne Schneider-Webb. You can find Shravidya at Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. On Instagram at Shravidya Venkat, that's Srividhya, Venkat, Venkat. And then the opposite of that on Twitter, Venkat Shravidya. And also on Facebook, Shravidya Venkat, children's author. And her website is shravidyavenkat.com. You can find Priya online on Instagram at Priya, Priya, dot Purick, Parikh dot author. That's on Instagram. And her website is www.priyapauthor.com. As always, you can find Sambasavan and Purick on Instagram at Sambasavan and Purick and on sambasavanandpurick.com. All of our books are available for purchase on amazon.com and through your local indie bookstore. It also helps us if you request our books at your local library. Go ahead and go to your library, look and see if they have Dancing in Tata's Footsteps and Dancing Devi, and if not, and you're interested in reading them, go ahead and make a request. If you have any questions, comments, ideas for future episodes, or just want to say hi, email me at leanne@modernmarigoldbooks.com. Thanks for listening!